If you would, to John chapter number 12. I've been anxious to get here and had a message on my heart this week. I'm excited about bringing to you this morning. I pray the Lord will just make it easy and He'll speak to our hearts. You know, that's what we need when we come to worship. We need to have His presence. We need to feel His presence. You know, it's not all about feelings, but I'm glad I can feel Him every once in a while. And that makes all the difference in the world, is to have the presence of the Lord in our midst. Now, remind me at the end to make a few announcements. I need to make a few, but I feel like I'd just like to get right into the message this morning. John chapter number 12, and beginning at verse number 23 down through verse number 28, I want to read those verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John chapter 12, in verse number 23, the Bible said, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much that as we come together this morning as thy people, that Lord, we truly can worship the one that made us and created us, as we've been studying about in our Sunday school. And Lord, there's nothing about us that you don't know. Lord, there's no trial that we've been through. There's no sin that we've been tempted by. There's nothing, Lord, that you can say that you have not been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Lord, you know how it is to walk in this flesh, yet without sin. And Lord, we praise you for that today. Lord, I want to thank you for going to the cross and dying there for our sins, that we might have life eternal. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able in this life to try to serve you just a little bit and Lord, make a difference for thy honor and for thy glory. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing here at Mount Lebanon and calling these men to preach. And Lord, I know you're not done in this life and in this world. And Lord, there's a work to do. Lord, I pray you'd help us to prepare our hearts, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be. Help me just now. I need thy help. I pray for thy touch. I pray, Lord, for the anointing of thy spirit. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. Lord, you know each and every heart that's here today and what we need more than anything. Lord, I pray you'd provide it. God, I pray if anybody is here today that's never been saved, I pray you'd touch them. I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I want us to read verse number 24 one more time. That's the verse I want to try to bring out today. The Bible says in verse number 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I want to try to preach today on the subject, dying to live. Dying to live. That's something that's been on my heart, been on my mind. The Lord brought this passage of Scripture to me earlier this week, and I just had that little thought, dying to live. And here the Lord Jesus, He's talking about, He's speaking concerning His own coming death, burial, and resurrection. If we look there in verse number 27, what the Bible says in the last part of the verse, He said, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." If we were to take time to read on down, you'd go, come on down in chapter number 12. You go over into verse number 32. The Lord Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He was referring there to His dying upon the cross of Calvary. And he knew he had to die in order that others might live. It is a natural truth, and we're going to see it here in God's Word as illustrated in verse number 24 about the corn of wheat. It is a natural truth that there has to be death take place in order for life to come. And it is also a spiritual truth. I was thinking this morning about some examples in the Bible, and we could pick out several examples in the Bible of life coming out of death, but the first one that came to my mind was Noah and Noah's ark, and Noah and his family, and God put them there in the ark, which under all the circumstances might have looked like a gigantic coffin. Because God said he was going to destroy all the world, and God was going to send a flood that would destroy and kill everybody and everything upon the earth. And God put them in the ark, and God shut the ark, and for 40 days and 40 nights it did nothing but rain and flood, and no doubt they were tossed to and fro and all of these things. And then even longer than that, probably if you studied it out, you'd find that they were on the ark for a time period of about a year. And after that year had taken place, and they'd waited and they'd waited and they'd waited, surely it crossed their minds many, many times, hey, we just might die on this thing. But Noah had hope in his heart, and the Bible says that Noah sent out a dove. And the Bible says that the dove came back, and Noah knew that the waters were not abated from off the earth. And so the Bible says that Noah waited 7 more days. And Noah sent out the dove one more time, and the Bible said that the dove brought back an olive leaf. And so Noah knew by that that life was going to come out of all of that death. And then a little bit later on, the Bible says that that Noah sent out the dove one more time, and the dove didn't come back, and he knew that there was life upon the earth once again. You see, in that ark, there was only one window, and that window wasn't on the side of the ark. It was in the very top of the ark, so all that Noah could do is look up. And you know, when we get to the place in our lives where all we can do is look up and see him and not see all what's going on out here in the world round about us, that's really a pretty good place to be. And so life came out of death there. And I thought about another illustration. I thought about Jonah. For Jonah, don't you know that death was a certain thing in his mind? I mean, here's a preacher. He's backslid on God. He's running away from God. God told him to go in one direction. He went in the other direction. He thinks he's going to get away from God, and he gets on a boat, and he gets out in the ocean, and he thinks everything's going to be all right. But you know what? God had his number. And the Bible said that the Lord prepared a great fish, and they threw Jonah over the side. And you know, if that was you in those circumstances, and you was in a storm, and it was found out that you was God's man, and you was running from God, and you were thrown over, and a whale swallowed you up and took you down into the depths of the sea, don't you know that you'd just be counting, you'd be there in the belly of the whale wondering, when am I going to take my last breath? When am I going to die? If you're reading Jonah chapter number 2, the Bible says that the seaweed was wrapped about his head and all of these things. He just knew he was going to die. And he did die while he was down there. And what I mean by that, his will died. God got the run out of him. God got the backsliding out of him. And Jonah made up his mind while he was down there in the well. He made up his mind, buddy, if I ever get out of this, boy, have I got a message. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible said that God heard his prayer down there in the depths. And the Bible said that God caused that great fish to vomit him out upon the land. And boy, you talk about a message Jonah preached, salvation is of the Lord. One preacher preached one time at that well said, preacher, you make me sick. And I'm sure that's how a whole lot of people feel. But I'll tell you what, out of certain death came life. And Jonah went and preached, and many, many people, in fact, what a great revival by the messenger of the Lord, Jonah, there, because Jonah got his heart right and went and done what God wanted him to do, but he had to come to the place of death in his life before God could use him. He had to die to himself and what he wanted before God could use him in a great and mighty way. And in Paul's life, if you read the writings of Paul and over there in the New Testament, God used the Apostle Paul in a great and mighty way. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He really knew what it was to die to himself so that Christ could live through him. He's the one that said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, he said, I die daily. And Paul knew what it was to be dying to live. And I want to show you some things from this passage of Scripture this morning, just a few short things on this subject, dying to live. First of all, in dying to live, I'm going to show you first thing, the death. Verse number 24, notice what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. You ought to underline that in your Bible. He said, it abideth alone. He said, but if it die, there it is again, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He said, it has to die in order to bring forth much fruit. And I'm sure this morning that most people realize that that corn of wheat that the Lord Jesus was talking about, he was talking about himself. He was talking about himself and the necessity of him having to go to Calvary. Now, death is a horrible thing for us, and we shun it, and we don't like it, and we hate to see it come. But the Lord Jesus knew that he didn't come to this world to live. He came to this world to die. In fact, the Word of God says about him that he set his face as a stone or as a granite towards Jerusalem. He had his mind made up that he had come to go to Calvary, not just to live here right on and on and on. He had a mission. He had to die for our sins so that you and I could be saved. The Bible also says that when Jesus talked about going to the cross, that Peter, boy, he didn't like that. And he said, Lord, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit here, but he rebuked the Lord that he had talked about having to go and die. And Peter, and Jesus said to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan, for thou art a reproach unto me. He said, all this talk about not going to Calvary, he knew he had to go to Calvary. It's the only way that you and I'd ever have life. It's the only way that you and I could ever be saved. Jesus being born in the manger didn't accomplish our salvation. And Jesus opening blinded eyes and opening the ears of the deaf didn't accomplish our salvation. And Jesus calming the storm out on the sea, although these things are wonderful and great, it didn't accomplish our salvation. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus had to go to Calvary in order that you and I could be saved. Jesus had to die. He was talking about himself there, going to the cross and dying. And that's what he meant in verse number 32 when he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He had to be that corn of wheat that would die upon Calvary so that you and I could have eternal life. But what you might not realize this morning is that if you and I ever really, really follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about playing church. I'm not talking about just sitting on a pew somewhere. I'm talking about if we really ever serve him, if we really ever make an impact for others, for the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, if we are ever really, really counted as one of his disciples and really, really live for him, then you and I, we are also going to have to come to a place of death in our lives. We're going to have to die in order that we might live. I mean, really live for him. And I'm emphasizing this morning the really, really part. I mean, look there in verse number 25, what Jesus said. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. Now, that's where most of us are. He that loveth his life. If you in this life, if all you love is your life and what you want and your will and your way, and I'm going to do what I want to do, you know what you're going to find out at the end of your life? That you lost your life. That your life really didn't count for anything. You really didn't make a difference. You really didn't matter as far as eternal things are concerned. If you love this life, you in this life, if you love your life, you will lose your life. But if you ever learn the truth of hating your life for Jesus' sake in this world, he shall keep it unto life eternal. He said in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I was reading over this morning in Luke chapter 9 in verse number 23. The Bible said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what a cross is for, don't you? It's not for living, it's for dying. And Jesus said, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, having these young preachers in the church has really been a blessing to me. And if you are visiting or you don't know maybe what's been going on, two Wednesday nights, Brother Jason up here, he stood up and he told the church that God had called him to preach. And I've been talking to him, and most everybody didn't know it, but at the same time I'm talking to Brother Jason, I'm talking to Brother Bill, and Brother Bill Conrad. And last Wednesday night, Brother Bill stood up and told the church that God had called him to preach. And all that, being around that once again, has reminded me the great amount of turmoil that goes on in a man's life when somebody talks about running from God or God calling you or surrendering to the call of God. I'm telling you, it is a tumultuous thing to go through. Because what you begin to realize when you feel like that the touch of God is upon your life or the call of God is upon your life, first thing that comes to your mind is, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. And you realize that, and that haunts you, and you lay awake at night and you say, Lord, anybody but me, anything but, I'll do anything else. But see, what you realize is that is just something that you cannot do in the energy of the flesh. And in order to really bring honor to God, you'll have to die to self. Have to do it. There is no other option. There's no way to fake your way through really living for God. And let me say this morning along the same lines, if any one of us this morning ever expects to ever do anything for God in this life, you're going to have to come to the place of death in your life where your will is sacrificed upon the altar of God's will, and you come to that place of not my will, but thy will be done. We sing that song many, many times, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. I really believe with all my heart that every Christian, not just preachers, not just missionaries, not just deacons, not just Sunday school, but every child of God, ought to get to that place in your life where you have literally given your all to Him. And you have come to the place in your life where you have said, Lord, I am yours. Whatever you want me to do in this life, I want to do it. I want to give my life to you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us as a living sacrifice. He wants us to come. And when you sacrifice something, it takes its life. But God doesn't want us to die for Him. God wants us to live for Him. To be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him. Have you ever come to that place in your life? I remember when I was young, growing up, it seems that I remember that preachers exhorted Christians to give their lives to God. Is that old-fashioned, or is that out of date, or does God not require that any longer? I believe that God in His Word said this. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And if He wanted it out of Paul, and He wanted it out of the old-time Christians, and He wanted it out of your grandfather and my grandmother, then He wants it out of you too. And you young people, God wants the same thing out of you. You ought to give your life to Him. And the sooner you do that, the better off you're going to be and the less time you're going to waste in this life where you just come to the place, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I want you to take it. I'm not saying don't have dreams. I'm not saying don't make plans. I'm just saying put your plans and your dreams on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the deciding factor in the whole thing and just let Him guide you through this life. You'll be a whole lot better off. You want to really live in this life, you need to learn what it means to die. You need to learn what it means to die to yourself and die to your wants and die to your dreams and just come and say, Lord, what do you want? That's what I want to do. There's the principle in the Bible of life coming out of death. Earlier this spring, me and my dad, my brother, we got out there and we planted garden. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. When you get out and plant garden, it's a blessing. And, we get a lot out of it and we enjoy it and all of these things. But when we got ready to get out there and plant garden, I went to the freezer. And I've got a little can in the freezer. And I got in that can and I got the contents out of it. And I had some corn seed, and I had some bean seed, and all of those things. You know, all that time it'd been there in the freezer, it hadn't done anybody any good. But when I took it out, and I took it out of its package, and we put it in the warm soil, and we put some fertilizer on it, and God sent some rain on it, and you know what? When it died, it brought forth life again. But as long as it's in the freezer there, it wasn't doing anybody any good. Life can come out of death. Life can come out of barrenness. First of all, though, there has to be a death. There has to be a death in your life where you come to the place and just say, Lord, here am I. Take me. Use me. Do whatever you want to in my life. First of all, there's the death. Second of all, let me show you something. There's the danger in verse number 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except. You ought to underline that as well. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it never falls into the ground and dies, if the death never comes, you know what? If I'd have never got the corn out of the freezer and planted it in the ground, you know what? It would still be in there doing nobody no good. It had to come out and it had to die. But if I'd have left it in there, it'd still be there. It wouldn't be doing any good. It would literally be abiding alone, doing nobody no good. How many of you remember, and I know I remember this when I was growing up, back before, these stores like Michael's and Home Interior Decorators and all those things, back when people had to just use their imagination to decorate their homes. And how many of you remember maybe your grandparents or your great-grandparents, you'd go into their home and they had some Indian corn put together, tied together, and they had it hung up somewhere, maybe in the kitchen or somewhere for decoration. And how pretty that was, it'd be all different colors, red and white and black and yellow and all, and we called it, and it's called Indian corn. I don't know all about it, but a lot of people use that for decoration in their homes, and they would hang it up, and it's nice to look at and all of those things, and it was used to decorate. But as long as there was no death in that corn hanging in the kitchen or in the living room, there'd be no life out of that corn. All it was just a pretty decoration. You know what I believe with all my heart? That the majority of Christians today spend their whole lives since God saved them just for show, just for decoration, just for others to see, and actually there's never been any death in their lives, and therefore their lives are not fruitful like God means for them to be. If you don't ever come to that place in your life of death, and dying for the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will be no fruit in your lives. And God did not save us for us to be decorations on a church pew. God saved us to be something for Him. And to do something for Him. And for there to be fruitfulness in our lives. Turn over just a few pages to John chapter number 15. Let me show you something over there. This is the chapter called the Christ the True Vine. And in John chapter number 15, Jesus, there's some great truths in there. In fact, Larry Adams came a few years ago and preached in revival, and he preached out of John chapter number 15 about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and being fruitful. And it said in John 15 in verse number 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. When the Lord Jesus finds somebody that he can use and they are bearing fruit, he purges it. That means that he prunes it up in order that it may bring forth more fruit. God wants there to be fruit in our lives. And then God will bring about what sometimes feels like it's going to kill us in our lives. And the reason God does that is so that it may bring forth more fruit. And then it goes on down, and it says in verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So there's fruit, and there's bearing fruit, and there's more fruit, and there's much fruit, the Bible says. And then over in verse number 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I would ask you to ask yourselves a question this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God and you know you've been saved, you know you're a child of his, then you know what? There ought to be some fruit in your life. There ought to be some evidence. Others should be being blessed and growing, and others should come into the kingdom of God by your influence and by the influence of your life. Where's your fruit this morning? There ought to be fruit. I was talking to one of my pastor friends the other day, and he's talking about somebody been to his church, and he said, yeah, they said they got saved, but after that, he said, they've not been back. And I said to him, I said, oh, so that's one of your converts. You can always tell between your converts and the Lord's converts, the Lord's come back. But mine, the FBI can't find. What in the world happened to him? I don't know. Mine don't hang around long, but I'll tell you, if it's his fruit and if it's blessed of God, then the evidence will be there on every hand, and we won't have to wonder in our lives if we have any fruit in our lives. Do you know why so many churches are fighting and shrinking and splitting and not getting along? And why there are so many families out there in the church today that are splitting and fighting and can't get along? And do you know why there's so many teenagers that are rebellious and unsatisfied and unruly and sour-mouthed and all of these things? Do you know what our problem is in the church today? It's not that we don't have enough to offer everybody. It's that in spite of everything that's offered, people are not living their lives filled with the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. They are living their lives pleasing the flesh. And that's why nobody can get along. That's why churches can't grow. And that's why families are split all to pieces and fighting and all of these things. It's because in spite of everything that God has done for us, old flesh is on the throne. And being pleased at every hand. God did not save us to make us sanctified football fans, but God saved us so that we might be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're at. We think God has saved us to make us feel good. We think that God has saved us to bless us with financial prosperity and things of this world, but God saved us so that we might follow Him and live for Him and raise our families and our children for His honor and His glory and have a church that'll preach the gospel and have the power of God, and so that He can come and convict and move and save and work and call and all of these things. But I'll tell you, flesh will wreck the train every time. Flesh. How do we know if we're in the flesh? We won't have any fruit in our lives. There'll be nothing but bad things all the time and offenses and all of these things. God didn't save us to be decorations. God saved us to be disciples. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm warning you this morning from God's word. If we don't get a leash on this thing of flesh in our lives, we will one day, if you're saved by God's grace, you will stand before Him ashamed. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." There's going to be a lot one of these days that are going to stand ashamed, head hung low, in the presence of our Lord. You think this morning that if you're saved by the grace of God and you hadn't lifted one finger for Him, that if the rapture happens, you're going to go to heaven a shouting and praising and just fall in His presence and there be no accounting day? No, sir. There's going to be a judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And it's serious business. One day we'll stand before Him and we'll give an account of our lives one way or the other. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a great, great many that's going to be like the old song we sing that says, "Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go?" Wouldn't that be a shame to stand before our Lord that loved us, died for us, saved us, give us eternal life, and to stand before Him and to hear the question, "What have you done for me?" or Him to look into our lives, and we stand there and we have nothing to show. Nothing to show for eternity in heaven and peace and the millennial and all of these things, and we stand with empty hands. There's going to be a lot of ashamed Christians at the judgment seat of Christ one day. And the Bible says, and you can study and read it out for yourselves, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive reward for things done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter number 5. Read them later on. There's the danger. If there's no death in our lives as God's children, then there will be no fruit. And we will literally, what the Bible says there in verse number 24, it abideth alone. Isn't that a sad thought? That I'd never be used for God in any fashion whatsoever. There's the danger. In the danger, there's a possibility. Boy, we'd better get busy. Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." One of these days is going to be too late to do anything for God. There's the death, first of all. There's the danger, second of all. There's the delight. Thirdly, this morning, there's the delight. Now, look in verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Well, there's a possibility, but there's also the promise. There's the delight that if we will die to self, we will be able in this life to bring forth much fruit. Now, dying is hard to self. That's the great turmoil in surrendering to preach, is I've got to die. There's no way to do this except I die. And wives go through the turmoil, and those of you that are deacons, and you remember back when the church appointed you and called you, and no doubt there was a turmoil there, and there was the wives, and you know, we're not worthy, and all of these things that goes through your mind, but the only way anything can be done, got to die. It's not a pleasant thing to think about dying, but it's the only way to truly live is to die. I remember when God called me to preach and all of those emotions that I went through and the turmoil and the staying up at night and can't sleep. That's all I can think about and all I can talk about. And what's going on there is a dying to self, a dying out. I told Brother Bill, I was talking to him the other night. I said, "I'm so glad that God called me to preach when I was 20, and like you, and you, y'all are older, it's harder. You young people. Best thing you could do is put your all on the altar while you're young. Because the older you get and the more irons you get in the fire, the more things you'll have to combat against the older you get, and you'll get caught up in this thing. Well, God wants me to do something, but I can't right now. I've got to finish this. I've got to do this. I've got to work long enough to pay this off. I've been all entangled in this thing over here. Hey, if you just give it to God now, save yourself a lot of turmoil later on. I can't imagine being middle age and having a career, you know, owning my career and whatever, you know. I mean, God called me when I was young. I say, praise the Lord. You young people, you need to make serious investigation into your life. What are you going to do with your life? Give it to God so that there might be some fruit in your life. I've not won the multitudes to Christ. No, I'll be the first to admit that. But I got to thinking the other day, as I was studying about this message two Sunday nights ago, I went over at Forest Grove and preached. That's the first church I ever pastored. I went over there and preached, and you know, I enjoyed it and everything, and I went back to the back to shake hands, and back there in the back, they've got a big old wall. Covers the whole back of the church, and they've got their missionary letters all over that wall. There's probably 50 to 60 missionary letters on that wall. And I was standing there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you had a part in that. When I went over there, they had 12. A couple of them died, and a couple of them came off the field. They got down to 8. And when I left, I can't remember now, they had 48, 50, something like that. All those missionaries. See, the Bible says if we die, that it bringeth forth much fruit. I thought about that. I thought about going to Idaho. I thought about going to Alaska. I thought about all of our missionaries. I thought about all the preachers. When I was at Forest Grove, as Preacher Mark, and Preacher Greg, and Preacher Bill McGuire, and Preacher Mike Warren and Preacher Jeff's pastoring over at Friendship, and Preacher Jason and Preacher Bill. And you see, God doesn't always reveal to us just exactly how He's doing or what He's doing, but there's the fact in the Bible that if we die to ourselves, that He will use us and He will bring forth fruit. And it's up to Him how He does it. But praise God that He does do it. If you young people this morning, if you don't ever die to yourself, and you grow older and you get married and you go through your life and you get older one of these days, and God, you just sort of, like a whole lot of people, just go through the motions. You know what? You'll go through life and you'll think to yourself, I wonder what could have been with my life if I'd have surrendered my all to Him way back when I should have. Life is a scary thing. Life is a frightening thing. Life, even when I was growing up, you know, the Russians were bad and nuclear war was coming and we didn't know if we was going to wake up. We used to have drills in school to know what to do if we were ever bombed. Any of you remember that, you know, by the Russians? Not a whole lot's changed in all those years, and here I am grown. I've got a family. I've preached now almost 20 years, and we're still going on. I'm glad I gave my life to Him many, many years ago, and I'm not somewhere broken life, broken family, wondering what I would have been if I'd have given my life to God. Best thing I ever done in my life was to put my life on the altar and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know life is a scary thing. That's why you ought to do what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That way you'll at least know that somebody knows what's going on all the time. You know what I'm saying this morning? You get out of God's will in this life, and you get away from God, and like Jonah, you're backslid and running away, and you won't let God have His way in your life, and you will get out here, and you will get turned in so many directions, you don't know which way is up. But if you'll give your life to Him, and know that your life is on the altar, then no matter what comes, you will know that at least He knows what's going on. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We have been going through in our life a very strenuous time. A little over 3 years ago, we prayed about it and sought the Lord's will and thought at that time, and I still believe at this time that it was God's will that we buy the family business and go into that. And you know, I'd prayed about it, had peace about it, and I'll tell you, ever since then, it's just went downhill and it's been nothing but a big pain in the neck. But I still believe God led us into it, and I don't know exactly the reason, but we're in the process of closing down. Closing the business down. I've been working. I've been entangled with the affairs of this life, like the Bible says. And I told Kim, I said, if what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, I ought to be about green and busting out of my shirt right now. You know, like the Incredible Hulk. I ought to be really strong. And last week I told Kim, I said, I need to take my sign down. Now, I'm not attached emotionally to anything except the sign. Because me and Preacher Jeff come up with the design of the sign. And the sign, and it's just a personal thing with me, it had the message of the gospel in it. Had a big old 6x6 cedar post in the shape of a cross. And on the top of it, it said Adams Lumber and Hardware. And Adams was with an apostrophe, which is Adam in the Bible. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. And lumber is the cross and the hardware. And up in the corner it had the cross and the nails. Not the cross. It had a hammer and nails in the corner. And that, to me, meant something. And I told Kim, I said, I need to take it down. And so Friday morning, real early, I put my chainsaw in my pickup and I went down there. Probably the neighbors thought, what in the world is going on? But I got the chainsaw and I cut it down and it fell, boom, over in the hostas. And I just left it laying there. Kim said, you really going to do that? I said, I need to do that. It's therapeutic. It's like closing a chapter. And it just laid there on the ground. The next day I was sitting in the office there and I was doing all this paperwork and calling and trying to arrange this. And I'll tell you what, it's been a pain. It's been a trial. But I was sitting there at my desk and I looked out there where the sign used to be. And there it was laying over on the ground. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I thought to myself, I thought, man, I hate that. I hate that's not there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, don't you worry about it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. And man, the Holy Ghost come into my office there. And the Lord said, don't you worry about it. Because I'm going to do something else. And I just had me a time right there by myself. I'm telling you, God came in and boy, I got to worship and pray and talking to Him. And I said, Lord, that's all right. Because you know what? Sometimes death has to come. You might be going through something in your life and you think it's going to kill you. Why don't you just let that thing die, whatever it is? Why don't you just let old flesh, just get old flesh on the altar and let it die there and let it burn up so God can do something new in your life? I like what it says in the Bible, that He's able to make all things new. Boy, we come in our lives sometimes and we think that's the end. Oh, what a mess. There's no way out of this. But all the time, there's a God in heaven's been working. The Bible says that the Lord orders the steps of a good man. You believe that? God works in our lives even though when we don't see it and we can't feel it and we don't understand it and all of those things. Man, I'm telling you this morning, I believe that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And if you would let Him, that's the key. If you and I would let Him, you'd find out He's able to do something in your life. But there has to come death in order that there might be life. But you'll have to die in order to live. Now, that's a hard message for us to accept. But look what it says. I'm closing this morning. John chapter number 12. Go back over to verse number 24. Look what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Boy, I like that. I want him with me, and I want me with him. I don't need a lot of things in this life, but I'll tell you, I can't live without him. I can't do anything without him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He'll not leave you alone. We sing that song many times. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. But I'll tell you, a lot of times we're being hypocrites because we've not got to that place. But that is a wonderful place to get to. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. He can save this morning. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, that corn of wheat, the Lord Jesus, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day so you could be saved. Have your sins forgiven. He can save, he can salvage, he can send, but self must go to the cross. Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a good place to get to when we get to the end of old self. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.